Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
A gay couple who adopted an abandoned newborn that they found on a New York City subway platform are continuing to share their story and now have a children's book that's called Our Subway Baby. They are joining us right now. We've been so excited to have you on. We've been talking about your story all week. Pete Mercurio and Danny Stewart, thanks for being here.
Hi, thanks for having us. Yeah, thank you very much.
Y'all were in y'all's early 30s when y'all found your son. And yeah, I couldn't imagine.
This is like 2000.
Yeah, it was in 2000, yeah. Right? I just couldn't imagine being like, oh, I'm going to take this baby home in my early 30s. What was going on in y'all's mind at that moment?
I'll let Danny start because he was the one who found them, so. Well, you know, it's not something that we actually planned for, so it was totally unexpected. We kind of just went with it. When we had the opportunity, we just said yes.
Yeah.
And we didn't have a lot of time to plan either. Uh-huh. The way that all the events unfolded, we just sort of almost became what we call, what we came to call to ourselves, the closest two gay men can have to an unplanned pregnancy.
Yeah, I mean, seriously, when I was reading that, that's what I felt like. I was like, oh my God, they're just going through so much.
Yeah.
And did this story make, it got a lot of attention at that point. It's been getting a lot of attention since 2000. Are you surprised that people continue to be drawn to what happened?
Yes.
Yes. I mean, it just kind of takes us by surprise that the story still resonates and still reaches people. Over almost 21 years later.
Yeah, I mean, for most of that time, we're just going about our ordinary lives, you know, and then something happens and it gets all over the place and then everybody's, you know, interested. And it's great because we hear from so many people, this time especially from all over the world and from so many countries that where they're, you know, to be gay is criminal. And they've reached out and just... said, you know, they're so inspired and hope that one day in their country they can do the same thing. It's really been remarkable. We've been touched by all the responses we've gotten.
Oh my God, I could only imagine. How did the your story, especially when you found Kevin, your son, in the subway, and then I guess how did it get into the press, right? Like how did that kind of happen where the story became this huge national thing? I always wonder what stories like these.
Yeah, I mean, which time it sort of, we sort of had, like, so Danny had, you know, a bunch of local media the day after he found him, right? Just as the Good Samaritan and hero who found the baby. And then I wrote an article for the New York Times in 2013, just sort of sharing the story. And that put new batteries into the story, you know, they got replaced and it took off again. And then just recently, you know, the book, Our Subway Baby came out in September, and somebody from the BBC just asked to write about it, write about our story. It was a all over email interview. You know, I never even spoke to this writer. I'd forgotten that she even had done it. And last Saturday, she said it's going to go get published tomorrow, which was Easter Sunday. Mm-hmm. And I said, oh, okay. You know, I'm thinking to myself, it's a holiday. People will read it maybe on Monday. It was like no sooner than 10, 15 minutes after it got published on BBC, we were starting to receive emails and messages on social media from people reading it. It was so fast and so crazy. So once again, you know, the batteries were replaced in the story and it sort of took off again. So that's how it happened this time.
So I guess, what is the book about? Like, talk about making this story into a children's book.
And why a children's book?
Very good question.
Yeah. Well, the book is basically the story of how we became a family. And it's told in, it's written in first person direct address to my son as an infant. And basically explaining to him how he was found and how he came to live with us and be in our family from, you know, from the day he was found till the day he came home with us. And it sort of all happens in the month of December, or, you know, in the fall of 2000, and then ends in the month of December. So it's, you know, the cover has some snow falling on it, because the day we picked him up, there was actually flurries in the air, and we were carrying him through the flurries. It was really kind of such a New York scene in a way.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes place, you know, basically he comes home right before Christmas. So it's kind of also a Christmas story. Why a children's book? I think it was just, we wanted to share it in a way that was accessible to all, for all ages. You know, kids weren't going to read an adult book, and parents seem to be, and older people, you know, adults seem to be taken to this book as well as their kids. So it's been quite remarkable and awe-inspiring, the amount of feedback we've gotten from adults and kids alike.
Yeah, and I'm sure also adults, parents in the LGBTQ plus space, it's nice to see that representation too. And also in terms of adoption, which is so challenging, it can be.
Yes. Yeah.
No, I mean, of course, our story is unique. So we're not trying to pretend like this is a typical adoption story. It's truly miraculous of how we became a family. But you're right, representation does matter. You know, every night we would read bedtime stories to our son. He loved to be read to. And of course, there's, you know, when he was growing up, there was very few books that had any type of theme related to LGBT at all. I mean, one of the books that we read, one of his favorites was Entango Mix 3,
mm-hmm.
which was one of his favorites. And so we read that a lot to him, but there wasn't a lot of books back then.
Yeah, I mean, I just appreciate y'all just seem like really great parents. And because this story got so big on a national and global level at this point, I am sitting here wondering, has the birth mom or any of the birth parents reached out? Like, they were like, oh, wait, this child, it happened, it's correlating to the same timeline. Has that ever happened yet?
It has not.
No.
I kind of expected it to. The first time the story went, you know, got sort of told through the New York Times piece in 2013, I thought it was going to happen then, and it hasn't happened now either. So, you know, we're not,
There's been ample opportunity.
Yeah,
I mean, it's just,
exactly.
The day after he was found, I was like, it was on all of the local New York City stations, and it was a full 24-hour news cycle. It was constantly playing. It was in the papers. It was in the news. And so there was, and of course the police were searching for the biological parents, and no one ever turned up. No one ever stepped forward. And it would be really easy for someone to find Kevin.
I think they would know who we are by now.
Yeah, it would definitely be.
You know, because they would know.
The circumstances.
The person would know the circumstances of what happened in August 28th, 2000.
Of
and,
course.
You know, with it being in the press, you know, if you have, you know, Google it, you know, you'll figure out who we are.
And, so, you know, Kevin is 21 now. What does he think about all of this?
You know, we've asked him that several times over the past 21 years. Well, of course, when he was able to speak, at his speaking age. And he has just said, this is my life. He doesn't understand what is so, why people are saying, why that he thinks that they think this is so special and inspiring.
It's like, yeah, this is just my life.
You know, he's amused by it. He's like, I don't understand what the interest is.
Well, I mean, people love, and they love good parents, and they just love good people, and that's
so,
what attracts
them. Stories.
I mean, so it's not shocking to me, but also when you're in it and you're in the moment, you're like, yeah, this is just life. I don't know any other life, and so I'm so excited for you all. Like, y'all are just so great.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This is a feel good story for me. And I normally don't have feelings on this show. So
yeah, he's usually I'm actually feeling it, you know.
Yeah, I'm actually really feeling it. I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to cry.
So I guess like
Let it out.
is the takeaway from all of this as we wrap things up? Where do you hope to take your life in this story? What happens now?
I don't know. We're taking it one day at a time right now. So we don't know what happens next with the story or, you know, our life. We're probably just going to, you know, after all this buzz dies down, go back to our normal lives and, you know, resume normal activities. I don't know what's next. Yeah.
And I would say, I mean, I just have been so uplifted by all the outpouring of people and the support and the love. And how this story has resonated so much to them. I mean, to me, it just speaks to, like, all the stuff that's happened in the last year.
Oh, yeah.
It's been a dark place. And so I think this story, what resonates so much for people, is it is a story of love and hope and possibility of something better. And so it's that connection, reconnection to humanity and something good. And I think has really spoken to and has meant a lot to people. And that, to me, has meant a lot. That has really been something that's uplifted me through this time, and I've really appreciated how much this story is humbling, as it is just our life, that it is, that people have really taken to it.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah, not to take this off of a serious note, but y'all, like, are really hot dads, by the way, as well. So y'all are putting the DILF in dads.
You know, that's a first.
Can we quote you?
Please. You can quote
Ryan Mitchell, hotties.
You should put that on your next book thing.
Forget dads. This is a Zaddy account. This is beautiful.
I'm right now making a meme with your with a line crediting you.
OMG.
Oh, my God. Thank you
so
much.
Again, thank you to Pete Mercurio and Danny Stewart. Check out the book, Our Subway Baby, out now. Thanks again.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Pleasure speaking with you guys.
Coming up on the show, the White Party in Palm Springs has been rescheduled. We've got the latest next on What's Trending This Hour.